Welcome back to Slice of Pie. In this episode, it's going to be a little bit different. We're going to be reflecting on season one, some of the feedback and themes of the feedback that have been shared with me, as well as my own learning and reflection on my own learning. And then finally, we're going to talk about the season two and what that might look like. The reason I wanted to shape this a little bit differently and sit down one-on-one is because I think that the journey so far has been so rich, so complex, and so nuanced. This season alone, we had guests on to speak to self-care, first infusions, traveling, dating and relationships, employment, retirement, post-secondary education, and navigating COVID, all with primary immune deficiency. And that is a lot of different spaces and a lot of different places to navigate primary immune deficiency. And yeah, I wanted to kind of highlight some of that. And before I go any further, though, I want to thank you for coming on this journey. And with that, let's turn to themes in the feedback that I got. So because this is our journey, it's not just my journey, though I'm very happy to have been the host and developed it, I want to recognize that we're all kind of on our own journeys. And in the moment that you choose to listen to this podcast, to attend to this podcast, then it becomes our journey and you take away things that are different than me. And I think that's kind of beautiful. And so as a result, I wanted to kind of explore the general themes that have emerged out of the feedback that was shared to me either by friends or fellow primary immune deficient patients that I have met or know, and some folks who reached out and shared via email. For many folks, or for some of the folks that reached out, one of the themes was speaking to the unspoken parts of our lives with primary immune deficiency, specifically moments that are easily slipped past, those kind of ephemeral little tiny things that you didn't quite realize and hadn't quite connected to primary immune deficiency, and yet nonetheless are deeply ingrained in that experience or deeply relatable to that experience. That was very much true for me as well, in the sense that there were so many moments that were fully unexpected to me that I asked a question and the response hit me in this way that I didn't expect and that I didn't know I needed, in the sense of like just acknowledging those little tiny fleeting moments that I walk past or I experience and then move on from, or I haven't quite named yet. And I'm so happy that this podcast and the really talented guests that spoke to this, their own experience in really complex ways, resonated and helped people feel this way as well. It was really meaningful for me, and I'm happy it happened for other folks. Several other folks reached out to me and expressed something along the lines of how happy they were to hear more about the life and the lived experience rather than just the medical component of primary immune deficiency. And most of these individuals and myself, I want to acknowledge how important the medical component is. It is a big part of my own life and no doubt the lives of many of you as well. It is a huge thing to navigate and it is complex and the healthcare system is very complex as well. And you heard that, I think, in a lot of different episodes. A lot of our guests spoke to the ways that moving from one doctor to another can be really overwhelming or kind of challenging, or moving from one health jurisdiction to another, or moving from pediatrics to adult care. All of that is so complex, but it is one component of a much bigger and much more complex life. And for many folks who reached out, it helped them to feel a little less alone. Hearing a narrative about the emotional, social, and kind of life of people with primary immune deficiency helped them to understand that they weren't alone in a way that seemed really meaningful to them. And I will say that very much resonated with me as well. Another theme that emerged, and the final theme that I'll point out, there were other things that were mentioned to me and what have you, and I want to acknowledge and thank you for every single comment and feedback and idea shared with me. It was really, really wonderful to have this be an ongoing dialogue. But the final theme that I want to share is the ways that primary immune deficiency is a complex journey. And I think that theme for me was something I didn't quite appreciate at the start of this whole experience. It was one of those things where maybe it comes back to how I talk about my primary immune deficiency. I'm not sure. But in some ways, it's so easy to make it this compressed thing where it is, this is the static thing that I have. This is my primary immune deficiency. These are the like categorical kind of structures that I tell the doctor and I tell my illness narrative to my friends or people that need to know it or what have you. This is the way I speak to it. But I think like that created for me, and I heard from others that it created for them this like static idea that my primary immune deficiency is encapsulated in this like little category. And I thank all my guests for speaking to this in a really complex way, where it was always this ongoing, unfolding, complex and messy journey that your primary immune deficiency is as complex and intertwined with your life. And therefore, it is always moving and changing. And how you feel about it now doesn't necessarily mean is going to be the same way that you experience it in the future. It is malleable, it is unfolding, and it is complex. And I really, really am happy that folks reached out to me, because that really helped me to also recognize that theme that was emerging throughout our season, that primary immune deficiency as a part of our lives is never kind of static, even though we might speak to it in that way. And the language we use is limited in that sense. It is messy, it is complex, and it is kind of this ongoing wrestling. And I think a good example of that might give this a little bit more tangibility is the ways that people, especially people who sent me emails or reached out, spoke to the ways that at first primary immune deficiency felt like their life. And then after time, space, experiences, that it felt like only a part of their life. And then sometimes things change and it feels like their whole life again. And this like ongoing kind of, not a cycle, but something where it changes and might change back and then change again, really helped me to draw out that theme that this is a journey. And I'm so happy that it felt that way for other folks as well. Turning to my own learnings throughout this, I wanted to take a moment to reflect on some of the themes that developed for me and from my perspective. And even in saying that, I want to acknowledge that like these learnings wouldn't have developed without these ongoing conversations in my life and with the guests. And so even though these are themes that I have generated and I pull away, it doesn't necessarily mean they belong to me, if that makes any sense. First, And maybe not surprisingly, but was surprising to me, is this is hard and this is complex. Navigating primary immune deficiency in your life, in your social life, I was kind of awestruck with the many places that it shows up in our work life, in our post-secondary life, if you engage in that, in how we connect with people and where we make space in our life and where we have to make space in our life. And I think for me, it's always really easy to try, like in my attempt to remain positive, it is very, very easy to kind of ignore the complexity and ignoring that hardness of navigating primary immune deficiency. And that actually brings me to another theme that I wanted to speak to, which is the ways that not ignoring the hard parts of living with primary immune deficiency comes with its own strengths. Like, I don't know about you, but as I was listening to some of the guests speak to these like hard moments and the lessons they've taken from them, or just speaking to these hard moments, there was this like really rich texture and layer that it added to the experience of primary immune deficiency that I didn't realize I needed to. And again, in my own kind of way of navigating this, I often end up focusing on the positives and ignoring the negatives. But isolating the positives from the negatives ends up reducing the overall experience in really complex, nuanced ways that I don't think I appreciated. And I constantly really, really appreciated the ways that so many of our guests spoke to the positive, simultaneously bringing in the negative and showing the like complex messiness of this and the complex richness of doing that. It turns out that seeing the whole picture, your whole picture, can be really empowering and really helpful. Hey everyone, I know that for me at least, during the pandemic, it has been hard to socialize and connect with people in the same ways that I used to, but I wanted to tell you about a resource that might help. SIPO has a Wednesday night patient meetup. It happens every other Wednesday, and it is a space for people living with immune disorders to come and talk and discuss it online. And if you are interested in joining one of them, no sign up is required. You can find the link in the events section of the SIPO website, which you can find at cipo.ca. And you can also find the link on SIPO's Facebook page. Come check it out if you're interested. Another theme that kind of emerged for me, one of my own learnings, is the ways that it feels strange and it feels uncomfortable but meaningful to sit in a conversation where something so private and rarely spoken to is spoken to as a shared experience. Primary immune deficiency is something that I do talk about with people that are close to me, certainly, but to have someone who you don't share a lot of similar lived experience with, or someone you don't know particularly well. Some of the guests were fully new to me. These were strangers, but there was this strangeness to them speaking to unspoken things, things that I haven't even named. Them naming them feels kind of strange, but at the same time, like, even things that I had named, terms, concepts that I was like, oh yeah, this is something I navigate. Hearing them or sharing them and having someone else resonate with them felt so strange. It felt like getting on the bus and talking to someone and they understood the like parts of you that you did not, that you don't speak to often in public. Interrelated to that, the next learning that I pull away from this season is the ways that primary immune deficiency and living and navigating a life with primary immune deficiency is a relational act. And what I mean by that is that, even again, like kind of coming back to this idea that I originally had envisioned primary immune deficiency as this like static thing. Here's a list of symptoms I have. Here's how it affects me, yada, yada. But that ignores the context that I go into and the expectations that people have. I think we saw that the ways that we internally experience our primary immune deficiency is kind of influenced by the ways that people around us hold expectations of us and have understanding or lack of understanding of primary immune deficiency. We heard that like people being more flexible allowed people to feel more comfortable. So it isn't just that my own experience is limited to the symptoms I experience, but rather it is that I interact with the world and the context that I interact with, the expectations that are held, the narratives that I hold internally or people expect me to live up to, influences how I experience my primary immune deficiency. There are moments where it feels like my primary immune deficiency feels like something that is a connector. It is something that allows me to connect with others, that builds relationships, to relate to people. And then there's moments where it feels isolating and it feels overwhelming and it feels like something I bear alone. And certainly some of that is, how do I feel in that day? How is my own perspective kind of influencing it? But also it is, where am I? And if I'm with close friends, those people that who have shown time and time again that they are ready and know how to support me in a way that feels meaningful or are flexible, or it's a I'm thinking about a classroom that I went into where everything was just flexible and due dates were flexible. You could show up on time, you could show up late, totally fine. And that changed how I related to my own experience. It is interesting and something, again, one of those complexities and learnings that I feel is ongoing and kind of messy in a way that will be something that I continue to wrestle with and explore moving forward. But it is fascinating and such an important learning for me, and I hope resonates for you, is the ways that primary immune deficiency is a list of symptoms, but it's also in life and in social situations and in the broader kind of context, it is different and it is relative and relational. That reminds me of another learning that I'm going to be taking forward into my life from this season. And that is the ways that narratives organize our past and shape our future. In the sense that we heard lots of different ways of creating and understanding primary immune deficiency in people's lives. The ways that narratives, the expectations that others hold, but also the expectations and kind of stories that we tell ourselves kind of shape our experience of primary immune deficiency, my own experience in post-secondary learning. And there has been times where I saw myself, the story I was telling and the way that I shaped my world was that I had to do better, that I had to be going at the same speed as other students. However, in recent years, I've been telling myself that the expectations of university is different than what my body is designed for. I was struck by the ways that the guests spoke to and the ways that they changed their narratives, that over time they saw primary immune deficiency as something that was a part of their life rather than their whole life. I suppose the reason I'm drawing this out is that I think it's a really powerful tool for me, at least, knowing that while the experiences I go through might not be fully under my control, even though I really wish they were sometimes, there's some flexibility in the narratives that I tell, the ways that I attribute meaning to the experiences of my life. A lot of our guests kind of drew out this, like, you can choose to see this as a strength. You can choose to see this as a source of reflection. You can choose to see this as calling the question of what is a meaningful life. Ending this season, I also wanted to share some of the readings that have deeply informed and kind of interrelate to the learnings that I have had throughout this season. And so I want to take you just briefly to Brian's book recommendation corner. Each of these resources have supported me very deeply in navigating the complexities of living a life with primary immune deficiency. And I offer them in no particular order in the hope that hopefully they resonate or support your journey as well. The first book I want to recommend is If at Birth You Don't Succeed, My Adventures with Disaster and Destiny by Zach Anner. The second book that is also available as an audiobook is Sitting Pretty, The View from My Ordinary Resilient Disabled Body by Rebecca Tosig. a little bit more academic, but still a strong recommendation, and I think pretty accessible and interesting, is Disability Politics and Theory by A.J. Withers, who is a disabled author and researcher. Last but not least is Care Work, Dreaming Disability Justice by Leah Lakshmi Piepshna Samara Sinha. All of these books, again, really transformed the ways that I navigated this and navigated my experiences with primary immune deficiency. And they are readings that I come back to pretty regularly. They have made me laugh. They have made me cry. And they've made my journey on this earth kind of better in ways that I cannot fully describe. And so if you are so inclined, I recommend that you pick up one of these books from your local library or however you can get it. So that brings us to the conclusion, which in some ways is bittersweet because this is the last time I get to host and the conclusion of this season. And it was wonderfully meaningful. And that brings us to one of our last segments, which is Sweet as Pie. And in reflecting on one of the gifts I have received from living a life with PI, I think it was really easy to come up with one, which is this podcast, getting to host it, getting to develop it, and getting to talk to people was wonderful and amazing and unique and overwhelming. And I am so thankful. I also want to say a million thanks to all the guests for trusting me with their stories. I can't emphasize how much I am thankful for each of them agreeing to come on to talk to a new person or someone they haven't talked to in a while, me, and have their stories, their complex stories recorded. So thank you to every single guest that came on. I also want to thank all the people who work behind the scenes to help make this podcast sound, in a nutshell, good. In particular, Olivia Wheeler, who is our producer extraordinaire, who cut out so many times of me introducing the podcast as Life of Pi, which is a pretty good book, very sad movie, and not at all this podcast. And I really, really appreciate that. But also just like Olivia and a few others at SIPO as well, just being there to be a sounding board, to having these discussions, to going like, oh, can we, like, what about this way? Deeply meaningful. If you get a chance, do search Olivia Wheeler online. She's done a lot of wonderful things and has a fantastic website kind of summarizing some of her other works, which you should check out. I also want to thank all the people in my life, current and past, who have held space for me to have conversations about my primary immune deficiency. I cannot tell you how deeply that has shaped and helped me to get to the point where I could host the first season. Many of you also held emotional space for me when this season and producing it during COVID and grad school and all of that was overwhelming. You all held emotional space, and I really, really appreciate you all listening. I'm not going to name you all because if you're listening to this, I think you know who you are. Last but not least is each and every person who listened to season one. I can't believe, first of all, how many people did, and it's truly wonderful, and I'm so happy that so many of you did. But also, I want to thank you so much for giving me the gift of your attention. That is a particularly big gift in the current context. COVID and pandemic is overwhelming, life is busy, and you choosing to spend 35 to 40 minutes of your life every other week listening is really, really special, and thank you so much. So, those are all my thanks. And in some ways, that is the closure of my part of this podcast. But it is not the end of this podcast. And I'm so excited. This podcast was always designed to be a community project. As you heard, so much of our experience of living a life with primary immune deficiency is contextual. And it depends on the lens and the focus. And I recognized that I have one particular focus. I had particular topics I was interested in, and I had a particular structure in mind for the podcast. But everyone brings their own lens to this. They bring their own context. And I think that it only adds to the podcast by allowing others to develop their own seasons and take their own lens and apply it to sharing stories and asking different questions. So I'm really excited to say that SIPO is moving forward with a season two. If you are interested in hosting and working to develop a framework for season two, you can send a short proposal to podcast@sipo.ca that briefly outlines why you're interested in hosting, the shape of your proposed season, what is it focusing on, what are the goals, and then also some key topics that you are interested in exploring or even re-exploring. Could be topics that we've already explored and you want to explore again. That is wonderful. Your season can look very different than this season in terms of structure, focus, approach. So feel free to get creative and bring your whole self. I deeply believe that you bringing your whole self and the ways you see the world and your perspective and lens only serves to benefit the season that you would be hosting. And so if you have listened to this podcast and thought, I have some questions, or I would love to talk about this, or I haven't heard this being spoken, or this question wasn't asked, I encourage you to write a brief proposal. It doesn't have to be long. It doesn't have to be particularly well-developed, just kind of an initial framework, and send it to podcast@sipo.ca. Because after all, I think we all have different pies that we cut into, and we all cut into pies a little bit differently. In conclusion, the exact shape of season two has not fully been decided, other than SIPO is interested in supporting season two. And basically, the missing ingredient is perhaps you listening to this podcast. You could send in a proposal and work together to develop a second season. I also want to just quickly acknowledge that without SIPO, this season certainly wouldn't exist. And I really, really appreciate the gift that they have given me by allowing me to develop and host this season. It is something that I will always look back fondly on. And on that perhaps too sentimental note, I will just say, pie for now.